This is the Bates Bobcast, our weekly podcast about the week that was in Bates Athletics. My name is Aaron Morris, and this week we're celebrating the women's rowing team making a big statement over the weekend in Massachusetts and rising to number one in the country as a result. Plus, the tennis teams celebrated Senior Day, and the baseball team got another outstanding pitching performance. All that and more coming up on the Bates Bobcast. The women's rowing team took to the water and made a big statement on Saturday with both the first and second varsity eight boats out racing defending NCAA champion and number one nationally ranked Tufts on the Malden River. Then on Sunday, the first varsity eight won their heat and won their grand final, outracing number four nationally ranked Trinity along the way on Lake Quinsigamond. The Bobcats entered the weekend ranked fifth in the country in the CRCA national poll. This week, they're number one. First-year, first varsity eight coxswain Hannah Herbst led the way, and she joins the Bobcast as our female Bobcat of the week. So, Hannah, last time we had you on was around the head of the Charles, if I'm not mistaken, as a first-year coxswain, your first time on the Charles there. And now getting into the season here in the spring, how's it been going, you know, making the transition from in the fall you had one race, and now every week it's a 2K right down the water, right?
It's been awesome. I had no idea what I was in for, honestly. The winter was spent all in the erg room with the team.
Yeah.
And we just got on the water probably about 3 weeks ago now. But racing has been awesome. It's been definitely a commitment, but such a fun one at that.
And, you know, being in the first varsity eight as a first year as the coxswain, what's your leadership style kind of with this group?
So it's definitely an older boat. We have mostly juniors and seniors, two sophomores, I think. But I have mainly, we have our captain, Hannah Burdick, in Stroke C, and I've been so lucky to have her. She provides such incredible leadership for the boat. And honestly, this season, I've just been trying to work with her. We talk about technique, what our hopes are for the boat, what our plans are for the boat. And yeah, kind of just taking all of that into account. And I'm obviously like the coxswain telling the boat what to do, but it's really important for me that all the rowers are accounted for and we're all one unit working for the same goal together.
So your race this Saturday was on the Malden River against Tufts. And I was told by your stroke seat, Hannah Burdick, that it's actually not a straight line. There's a turn there that you have to negotiate. Take us through the race and how you handled that.
Yeah, so the course was unlike any other 2K course I've ever done before. I didn't even know it was legal to have a 2K course with a turn in it. There are actually two turns. So okay. You go into a bridge, and then you have a slight turn, and then another slight turn. And this course is kind of crazy. There's debris everywhere. There are a lot of haphazard buoys. And we were racing Tufts, and it's their home course. So obviously that coxswain was much more prepared for it than I was. However, I told the crew, and I talked about this with Coach before, that, okay, the first half of the race, first quarter at least, will be 75% me giving you the best line, 25% motivation, and then once we hit that straight shot, which is about 1,200 meters in, then I'll switch to 75% motivation, 25%, making sure everything's okay. And luckily, I was able to do that well. No mishaps, no anything. But it was definitely a new experience, but it was great.
And Tufts, defending NCAA champion, number one in the country. What did it mean to the team to beat them? Because you're a first year. I mean, you're coming from the West Coast. Maybe it doesn't matter so much to you, but these other rowers know what Tufts did last year and stuff. I mean, what did it mean to the group as a whole, guy? Kind of.
It meant so much.
Yeah.
As I said in the fall, something that the team has been saying as a whole is Bates is back. And we have not had a chance. We know that internally, but we haven't had a chance to show that to the world until this weekend. And we went into the race having very minimal expectations. I mean, we knew we were not supposed to win. Our coach told us you are not supposed to win this race. And it was honestly such an incredible shock. And the amount of joy and pride I felt from the whole boat when we crossed that line first was incredible. And then when we docked, our coach said, you just shook up the whole world, the D3 rowing world. And I think that was very appropriate for how it felt for the team.
At what point during the race did you realize, oh, we got this? I mean, there's a 4-second difference, but that's two boat lengths, right?
Yeah, so we started down on Tufts, which was not a surprise. We knew that was going to happen. And then we held contact, and then slowly and slowly we just kept gaining on them. until about 1,000 meters down, we were up, and then we just kept walking, and we shattered them. And that's the Bates race plan, is you take it slow, 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 and then boom, you attack. And once we had the attack, they crumbled, and that was obvious, and we kind of just rode that high right to the line.
Then the very next day, you're back in action on Sunday against a few different schools, mainly Trinity, but also WPI and a few others. Heats and finals this time. So take us through that day, kind of how that went compared to maybe the previous morning.
So we had definitely gained a lot of confidence the previous morning, which I was so happy the boat had. I mean, the boat is such a strong group of women, and I think the confidence we gained the day prior just really gave us that extra step going into this day. In the heats race, our biggest competition was Wellesley, and they had raced Tufts the day before and had lost to Tufts. However, it was kind of an unknown. We weren't really sure what to expect, but we went into that race being like, okay, we're just going to hold our heads high. We learned a lot from yesterday, and we're going to take that and just continue to stride it out. So again, that race off the line with Wellesley, we were down, and then we walked on them, and we did not sprint that race because we knew we had a lot ahead. So we held some gas in the tank, and then we went to that second race with Trinity. And this race was very imperative because we were like, okay, if we can do this, we can do anything. We beat Tufts yesterday. Now let's attack Trin. And our plan was 500 meters down, which is after the start. So usually crews have like an initial start sequence. We haven't had much time to prepare ours because of our lack of water time. And Trinity has had more time in the water, a little more experience doing that. So we knew we were going to be down off the start, and we were just going to attack that second 500. So off the line, we were down. And then 450 meters in, I made a call, and I was like, all right. And 50 meters now is when we shattered Trinity. And we counted it out together. And then 500, we started walking, and we gained momentum. And then again, at that 1K mark, we just took them. And we took them right to the line. We have a new boat. It's called the Cadillac.
I saw that, yeah.
Yes. And yeah, we like to say the Cadillac has the keys and we're going to drive them. So we just drove them, which was awesome.
And the exciting news today, it was just announced that Bates has gone from number 5 in the CRCA national rankings to number 1 after obviously beating the number 1 team and beating the number 4 team last week. And so, I mean, obviously that's very exciting. It's still early in the year. What are your thoughts on kind of, you know, now all of a sudden people are like, oh, wait, here's Bates. They're back, right? But now you're a little more of a target, I suppose, right?
Yes. So that's what our coach said when he got out of the water. Again, he said, you just shook up the world.
Yeah.
Amazing thing to hear, albeit the D3 rowing world, but still. And he was like, okay, but now you have the target on your backs. And this boat, we did so much over the winter as a team. Our entire team is so deep. We have so much strength, and we know that. Our stroke seat, Hannah Burdick, said, like, we have the strongest bodies. And now that we have this time on the waters and we find the technical capabilities to match that. And that starts in my boat, but it also goes throughout the whole team. Like, now we get to come together on the water together as knowing we are the number one team, knowing we have this target on our backs. And I'm excited. I'm excited to, you know, be Tufts this year and have everyone watching us and what we do.
I want to say the 2V also beat Tufts, which is very important because come NCAAs, both boats matter, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. You got the New York State Collegiate Championship Regatta this Saturday. I know nothing about this event. I've been covering Bates rowing for 10 years. Bobby's never been there. What do you know about it?
To be honest, not a lot. I know that it's going to be a lot of schools we haven't seen before, which is exciting. A lot of new teams, a lot of D1 teams.
Oh, okay.
We'll be racing Syracuse, which we're very excited about.
Okay.
Our race results were not too far from them this past weekend. Again, conditions, winds, tides, whatever.
Right.
But it'll be really fun. I'm honestly just more excited for the whole team to have more racing experience under our belts. Again, any water time you can get is very valuable time.
And looking a little bit further ahead in the schedule, come Sunday, April 27th, want to make sure everyone knows, of course, about the President's Cup, home regatta, Colby and Bowden on the Androscoggin River, and also a celebration of the 10th anniversary of the first national championship Bates rowing team. As a first year, you obviously know, I'm sure, about the history a little bit. How excited are you to see some of these rowers from the past coming back to campus?
I'm so excited. I think especially this year, it's very pertinent just because we have so much to live up to already, and then having this reminder of all the amazing things that everyone before us have accomplished is just so exciting. And I'm really excited to honestly just take that race for these people and just show them again, Bates is back and here we are and this one's for you. And I'm really excited.
What are your thoughts you wanted to share about, you know, the weekend and, you know, kind of your first real, I guess, races against teams you might be seeing later on come New England's and Nationals and everything. Any other thoughts you wanted to share we haven't got to talk about yet?
Yeah, as you mentioned, the 2V also beat Tufts this weekend, which was so exciting. And I think just the team in general has had such an amazing winter to come together. And a lot of this is due to the team culture our captains have created. And even though, you know, our boat is the one that gets a lot of the attention, I think everything we do is for everyone else on the team. And it's just so nice to finally be able to come together again, all in the water together, and just celebrate all our hard work.
Hannah Herbst representing the first Varsity 8 Coxswain Female Bobcat of the Week for the number one nationally ranked Bates women's rowing team. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
The men's rowing team also had a big weekend with the first Varsity 8 out racing IRCA Division 1 program Marist on Saturday and WPI in Hamilton on Sunday. Sophomore coxswain Darian Chang joins the Bobcast to look back on the 1V's undefeated weekend. Well, Darian, the last time we spoke, I think you were coxswaining the second Varsity 8. You've moved up to the first Varsity 8 now. What's that group been like? What's working with them been like, you know, so far on that experience?
It's been fantastic. I think one big thing that we've been working on this season is not getting complacent and always just striving to improve. And every day at practice, you know, that's, you can see that, like, we meet before we get on the water and we say, here are like the three things we're going to work on and focus on for this practice. And we go out there and we implement it. And it's just been overall a really good experience because, you know, we're constantly striving for improvement, but overall the attitude has also been really high and the vibes have been good.
Yeah, and we were talking off air about how the season's been kind of interesting because your very first race, you just got on the water and you're racing the Harvard Lightweights, right? I mean, yeah. That's kind of throwing yourselves in the fire. What's the experience been like, you know, starting with maybe the toughest competition you'll face all year?
Well, it definitely puts you in a spot where you're like, there's nowhere to go from up, nowhere to go but up right from here. So racing Harvard Lights, you know, they're obviously the reigning Division I lightweight national champions and they're super quick. So having that experience where you're coxing a race from behind and trying to get your guys motivated is definitely a learning experience, and it helps you set up for the rest of the season because being in that type of situation is extremely tough and just helps you get your gears.
And let's talk about this past weekend because you had a couple of victories there. The 1V raced Marist on Saturday. Marist is kind of like IRCA D1, basically, but you beat them by 13 seconds. So it was a dominating performance by the Bobcats. Take us through that race, and was it wire to wire for you?
Yeah, it was a really good race for us. Before the race, we talked about committing to the start because we have this race plan called the Chifu, which is basically calm, hold, fight, and then unload. But we want to commit a little bit more off the start in order to execute the rest of that race plan. So we need to be within striking distance. And one good thing that we did during that race was being within a reasonable margin where we could execute our race plan effectively. And off the start, you know, we really saw that we started up by two seats just because of the race course. There's a bend in the race course and they need to adjust for that. But we started up two seats and essentially our bow ball never went behind and we kept walking through the middle of the race. We had a really good second 500 and third 500, and we really extended our lead.
Well, yeah, you mentioned that, and I didn't know this actually about the Malden River, but there is a curve. Like, you have to steer.
Yeah.
Not as much as ahead of Charles, but there's still steering going on. So what's that like from a coxswain's perspective?
It's definitely interesting because come championship season, all the courses are straight lanes.
Right.
Like, they're buoyed courses.
Yeah.
So having to race on that Malden River, I think, is honestly something that's good for all coxswains because it helps you be able to multitask a lot better. Like, as a coxswain, you have to multitask a lot. You have to, you know, motivate your guys. You have to steer the boat. You have to make sure, like, you have to give them the kind of data from the race, like where we are, our stroke rate. So just being able to do all that in one sets you up really nicely come championship racing because you don't have to steer as much. So, yeah.
And then Lake Quinsigamond the next day on Sunday, up against a couple, you know, IRCA D3 opponents and victories over WPI and Hamilton in that one for the men's Varsity 8. And again, you know, what, a 10-second differential, so pretty strong performance. Take us through that race as well. Different course, more straight on?
Different course, yeah. Buoyed lanes,
yep.
Straight shot. Going into it, we really just wanted to build off of our good work that we put up against Marist.
Yeah.
Kind of same execution of the race plan. Wanted to have a good start where we were in a good position going into the second and third 500. And I think we executed that really well. Off the line, we didn't get a large margin off WPI. We held pretty level with them through the first 400 meters. And then in the second 500 and third 500, we started to really pull away. Through our middle move, we took about a length and a couple seats of open. So I think it was really well executed race by the crew and the guys.
I know with rowing, sometimes the lineups will change a little bit, mm-hmm. right? Someone else might step into a certain seat, or you might move around within the boat, the rowers. From a coxswain's perspective, does that change much for you? Like if new guys come in, you have to like catch them up on what you guys been doing, or is everything pretty universal across the boats kind of?
I think changing a lineup is definitely something that has to be, you know, kind of ironed out a little bit. Just because every rower is a little bit different and their mentality is a little bit different. And we had come from such a diverse, like, range of programs. Mm. So everyone rows a little bit differently as well. So having a couple of days or a few practices just before the race, before there is lineup change or, like, when there is lineup change helps, you know, iron things out, like I said, because you want to bring their focus onto what the crew has been working on.
Great. Remind me your background as a coxswain. I think you told me before, but for the folks who don't, maybe don't have anything memorized, remind me your background, how you got started doing it.
Yeah, so essentially my freshman year at Deerfield, which is the high school that I attended, basically one of my sister's friends, she was a junior at the time when I was a freshman. He was on the crew team, and then he saw me. He was like, "You're the perfect height for a cox." And I was like 4'11", 90 pounds as a freshman. He was like, "You're going to cox." And I'm like, "Okay, I'll try this out." So that's how I got into coxing and just continued with it. Liked the sport. So
you liked it right away?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
Great. And then, you know, this opportunity, big one for the Bobcats coming up this Sunday, right? You're racing the MIT Lightweights and Trinity. Is that the Charles River Basin again?
Yes, that is.
Okay. So I know last time there were some issues on the Charles River Basin with the weather and stuff. What are your thoughts on this coming week?
Hopefully the weather won't be as bad.
Yeah.
Last time we were on the basin against Harvard Lights and Tufts, we took in a lot of water into our boat, and we didn't really even have it. It was more just trying to get through the line more than anything.
Yeah.
That's how much water we had. We had to bail out a bunch after as well. But we're excited to put up a good race against MIT Lights and Trinity. Both crews are pretty fast, so we're excited to see what we can do.
Yeah, because, you know, your first race of the year, probably not – I mean, it's – you can't really take it much away from that, right? You take on water, that's pretty much a wrap for that race, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it was a significant amount of water. So it was definitely tough conditions. Hopefully we have better conditions this weekend, which it's looking like it.
And we're looking forward to the President's Cup coming up on April 27th. I know you got your first taste of that last year. What was that experience like having a regatta at home?
I love the experience. You get, you know, a lot of, we don't really get fans or for our regatta, like, you know, other bait students because our races are kind of hard to access. They're all the way in Boston. So having a race on, like, near the Bates campus is really good because all your friends can come out, and it just creates a really supportive and, you know, great environment.
I will say for rowing, you do get the opportunity to race probably in front of more fans than any program at the school when you do the Head of Charles, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of fans there, a lot of people. Definitely a very exciting environment.
And you were there in the fall this year?
Yes, I
was. What was that experience like?
It was tough. That course is very hard to steer.
Yeah.
And we had a little slight hiccup. We had a slight hiccup at one of the bridges, but we got through it. But it's it was funny because going into the bridge, we kind of scraped it with our oars, and you can hear all the people on top of the bridge go, "Oh, no."
They knew something happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Those are the tricky aspects of that race, certainly. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I guess any other thoughts you want to share on the season so far and what kind of where the men's team is at, you know, going forward here?
I think we're at a really good spot.
Yeah.
Compared to last year, we spent a lot more time in the erg room, which I think has been pretty beneficial for us in terms of gaining speed. Because generally, I would like to say that our team rows pretty well, and just having that extra time on the ergs really helps us build our fitness, and it's a good way to get into the spring season.
Do you erg with them?
Sometimes. Yeah. Not all the time.
Not all the time. All right. Well, Darian, thank you so much for joining us on the Bobcast. Congrats again on undefeated weekend for the men's first varsity eight. And good luck here this Sunday against the MIT Lightweights and Trinity. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
The baseball team defeated Colby 5-2 on Friday in NESCAC action before falling 2-0 to the Mules on Monday. The final game of the three-game series will be played on Sunday, April 27th at 1 o'clock. On Friday, junior John Tolley won yet another NESCAC start, this time with a complete game effort to improve to 3-1 on the year overall and 3-0 in NESCAC action. Tolley was named the Maine State Pitcher of the Week, and he is our male Bobcat of the Week. Well, John, obviously a 9-inning complete game is not that common, especially these days. So take us through that outing and what were conversations like with the coaches like between innings, like going out there for one more, going out there for one more, and then finishing the job?
Honestly, like, I didn't really talk to them too much. It's more that they talked to our catcher, Liam Yardley, and see how I'm feeling. I mean, he, like, was advocating for me, tried to finish it. I feel like for most of the game, I was, like, kind of cruising through it. My pitch count was low, except for I had, like, one kind of, like, big inning in the sixth where I gave up – or not gave up. Well, I gave up a run, but it was, like, 25 pitches, so that kind of hurt a little. But the double plays were huge, and that kind of helped me just, like, keep my pitch count low throughout the game and then finish it out.
Yeah, a bunch of double plays. Yeah. Which one was your favorite? There were a bunch. One that Ryan got from center field was pretty good.
I think that had to have been my favorite. I mean, it was kind of a tough inning. I was struggling a little bit, and then him making that play kind of just, like, changed the momentum of the game, and I think that was definitely, like, the best one because that was a really good throw and then a crazy stretch, too, from David Swift.
Yeah, Swift over there at first base was having himself a day, wasn't he?
Yeah, he made a few really good plays. I know the other team's coach thought he was off a few times, but he stayed on. So, yeah, it was good to see. Yeah,
I feel like the rivalry between Bates and Colby is definitely heating up a bit, especially in baseball. What's that dynamic like? Because I know we got one brother, Patrick Schrake, on and Colby and Matthew Schrake on Bates, stuff like that. How's it from your perspective?
Yeah, no, it's definitely really cool. I mean, they're always, like, super competitive games. And then, like, obviously when they're siblings, it just, like, makes it mean that much more because, like, we want to win for him. So it's just really fun to, like, playing these games. I mean, it's pretty tense, but everyone just, like, competing hard, so it's good to see.
And for you, I mean, you've started three NESCAC games. You've won three NESCAC games. Yeah. I mean, just take us through kind of – I mean, it all started, I think, though, with your start against MIT, right? What started to click for you?
Honestly, like, I had kind of just thought, like, what I did, like, this past summer because I had started this summer and, like, I had some success. So I was kind of just, like, thinking, like, what worked then, and then I just tried to, like, stick with that against MIT, just really getting ahead early and then, like, working, like, the outer third. And then I've kind of just built off that ever since. And then seeing, like, I pitch well against Tufts, and then I just was, like, reflecting, like, what worked and what didn't, and just trying to, like, build on each outing. So that's, like, been really helpful.
You mentioned the summer. Where'd you play?
I started in New York, and then I went to New Hampshire. I played in New York with, like, Gibby, Jack Margloff, and Max Dio. So it was good.
All on the same team?
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah. What was that experience like, summer ball compared to, you know, the college ball?
It's definitely a little different. Yeah. I mean, we play, like, basically every day.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun. You know, it's a little... It's not as serious because everyone's just trying to, like, get the reps in, but still, like, it's just good to, like, get the reps and, like, compete.
And it's wood bats?
Yeah, it's wood bats.
As a pitcher, that must help build your confidence. You can actually, pitch inside maybe?
Yeah, no, it's always cool to see, like, broken bats, but, yeah, you still got to, like, hit your spots and all, but definitely not as many, like, barrels.
Yeah, certainly. And then, so you mentioned New York and then New Hampshire at the end of the year?
Yeah, it's funny, like, John Nowak, he was here a few years ago.
Yep.
I was kind of just in touch with him throughout the summer, and he was a pitching coach for one of the teams. It was for the Keene Swamp Bats. And then, like, once our season ended in New York, I was in touch with him, and I just went out there for, like, 2 weeks and just got to throw a few more innings, so it was really cool.
You overlapped with him a little bit?
Yeah. I was here for just 1 year when he was
here. Okay, so what's that like, connecting with someone who was, you know, a senior when you were a first year?
It's definitely cool. I mean, he was a catcher when he was here, but he was our pitching coach this summer, so It was just fun to be with him and just learn from him.
The Colby game, we mentioned all the double plays and everything, and then going back out there for the ninth inning, what's kind of going through your mind? Because it's like you got a nice lead at that point, but you know you're going to be a little bit shorter leash probably, right?
Yeah. The top of the ninth helped a lot because I think we scored two runs there.
That's true, right.
Obviously, like, it took the pressure off a little bit. Like, you didn't need to, like, be too fine with your pitches. You just had to, like, keep filling up the zone. I knew, like, it was a close game still, so, like, I really didn't want to get anyone on base, but I think the first hitter got on in the top of the ninth, and then we turned the double play, so it was really nice. But, yeah, I was just, like, really just thinking, like, try to finish the game, that's all.
You mentioned, I guess, summer ball, and then you get to practice in the fall now at Bates a little bit. Mm-hmm. So how has that added to things, kind of?
It's definitely cool. Like, I think my freshman year we had a few practices, but I don't think the coaches were allowed to be there.
Mm.
And then I think starting last year they were. So it's, like, just really good just to, like, get reps in, like, right away from when we're here, just working on, like, defensive plays with our coaches and then being able to, like, throw live and get feedback right away. So I think it's, like, really helpful just for, like, our development and just getting better, like, as a team.
Describe your connection with Liam Yardley, you know, our starting catcher. And because you mentioned he talks a lot to the coaches about how you're doing. So what's that relationship like? How do you work with him?
Yeah, I mean – as far as baseball goes, like, I just, like, trust what he says. Like, he calls most of the games, and I don't really shake him that much. Like, I know, like, he looks at other teams' lineups, and he's also, like, my roommate and one of my, like, my best friends here. So, like, we're together a lot. So it's just cool to, like, be able to, like, throw to him.
Yeah, being roommates with your catcher, that's got to be nice.
Yeah, no, it's definitely cool. It's really cool.
Great. And then, I mean, for the team in general, you got some non-conference games this weekend against Bar. They're at home. Bunch of home games down the stretch. I know I'm excited for it. I mean, how pumped are you? Because I hope the weather will be nice and get a lot of crowd out there, right?
Yeah, no, it's really nice to have home games. I mean, I don't really mind, like, travel that much, especially because we don't go too far, like, at least as of recent. But it's just always nice to play at home, especially, like, I think we had, like, 10 in a row, a stretch of 10 games in a row, so it'll be really nice. I mean, it's starting to get warmer. Like, today's really nice. And then, yeah, we just got to kind of build this weekend and then big, like, couple games come up in the next few weeks.
Yeah, I know the conference season will end with three games against Trinity and then the makeup game against Colby. So it's going to stretch out the rotation a little bit, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, yeah, four games in a weekend, that's a lot, but we have a lot of pitchers and, like, everyone's been throwing really well recently. So I don't think it'll be too big of an issue for us.
Yeah, yesterday Diego, I thought, threw really well. Charlie Bushley out of the bullpen. What did you see from those guys just watching the game?
Yeah, no, they each threw really well. I mean, we held them to two runs again, so our pitchers have been throwing great. I mean, they threw a lot of strikes, like, not too much hard contact either, so they just, like, they were working, like, all their pitches, and they looked good.
I had Ian McCaslin on the other week because you guys obviously, they threw a combined no-hitter, and Ian got the start in that game, and, I mean, you were watching that one, and, you know, what was it like seeing that happen, and when did you start to realize, hey, we could actually throw a no-hitter here?
Yeah, no, it was good to see. I mean, we needed to, like, win, from what I remember, pretty badly, like, that week, just to, like, get the momentum going. Mm-hmm. And then Ian went out there with, like, the five no-hit innings. He was just, like, filling up the zone, throwing really well. I think he didn't have that many walks either, so it was really good to see all of our pitchers that day. And then I want to say it was maybe, like, the seventh or eighth, like, is when I, like, realized it. I was like, I don't think there's been a hit. And then it was just really cool to see, like, it actually happen, just have the no-hitter.
Great. And then, so we went to the 9-inning complete game. It's kind of rare. I mean, the last time we had one here at Bates was 2019. Nolan Collins, are you familiar with Nolan at all?
I mean, I've heard about him, but I never, like, met him.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Gotcha. Yeah. Well, he was pretty good.
Yeah, that's from what I've heard. It sounds
what's it like to be in that kind of company, sort of?
I mean, yeah, it sounds pretty good. Like, I obviously didn't know him, but from what I've heard, he was, like, a really good pitcher, so. It's obviously kind of, I guess, sounds pretty rare to, like, throw 9 innings, but it's just, like, cool to do, and, like, can't really do it without, like, the help of our defense. So it was just, like, a cool accomplishment.
Yeah, how would you compare the Colby start with the, you know, previous two NESCAC starts maybe? I mean, you got obviously more double plays in this one, but anything else?
I feel like I didn't really try and change too much. Like, we've just been sticking with what's working. I guess one of the main differences was Colby. I feel like they swang, like, pretty early on in counts. They had, like, really good bat-to-ball skills, so they were just putting a lot of balls in play, and I think, like, that's what led me to, like, being able to throw, like, as long as I did, because they were just getting a lot of contact.
Early on the count. Yeah. Which helps when you want to pitch to contact.
Definitely,
right?
Yeah.
Because you got a couple strikeouts in the first inning, but after that it was a lot of pitching to contact, right?
Yeah, I think, like, after the first, it seemed like they adjusted pretty quickly and were just, like, swing, like, first two pitches every at-bat for the most part.
Any other thoughts you wanted to share on the season so far and the games we have coming up here?
We got three games. Hopefully we'll do well against Bard and then just, like, get rolling in the next week, because that's basically it after that. So hopefully we can win those series and make the playoffs.
Absolutely. The race for the NESCAC tournament is definitely on. John Tolley, our male Bobcat of the week, 9-inning complete game victory Friday against Colby. Thanks so much for joining us on the Bobcast.
Yeah, thank you.
The track and field teams had a busy weekend, to say the least, competing at three different meets. There were lots of highlights, all of which can be found in our recaps at GoBatesBobcats.com. And on this week's episode of the Bobcast, we introduce you to first-year multi-athlete Juno Rogers, who comes to Bates from Georgia and competed in her first heptathlon this past Friday and Saturday at the Carla Coffey Invitational, immediately earning the number 9 spot on Bates' all-time performance list with her showing. Well, Juno, we were talking off air. This was your first ever heptathlon. So 7 different events there at the Carla Coffey Invitational. Take us through how you prepared for this. I know you did the pentathlon during indoor, but how did you prepare for, you know, two more events and the, you know, I'm sure the elements there at Smith College?
It was so fun competing in the first heptathlon. In terms of preparation, I definitely thought a lot about, like, that week I was, like, totally considering. I was just constantly thinking about how I was going to be doing the heptathlon that Friday and Saturday. So, you know, I was going to bed early, of course, eating well, the regular things, staying healthy, drinking a lot of water. So I definitely made sure to, like, prepare a lot to be at my peak health by the time of the heptathlon, yeah.
So how many events are on Friday and how many on Saturday? How's that break down?
Yeah, so on Friday, there's four events, and Saturday, there's three. It's nice to get, like, the bulk of the events done on Friday, and also, those are, like, my best events, I'd say. So I was super glad to, you know, get those out of the way early.
So ninth on the Bates all-time performance list after this weekend. Did you enjoy the experience, I guess, of doing seven different events? I mean, is this, because you mentioned, you know, never having done one before. So what motivated you to be a multi-athlete, you know, starting here at Bates?
Yeah, I'd never done multis before because it's not a super big thing in high school. But, you know, I already did, like, high jump, long jump, hurdles. So it was just adding in a few more events. Definitely, like, the wild card there is the throws. I'm not super accustomed to throws. Like, I just assumed you might throw it like a football, but that's not the case. Yeah, not the case. But over the summer, yeah, our head coach, Coach Johnson, had been talking to me about maybe doing the multis. And I was super into the idea of it because I like to do a lot of events. It's like the best of all worlds. And yeah, I really enjoyed it. It was fun competing at Smith because my sister actually goes there. So I'm pretty familiar with the campus. Got to see some of her friends. I think since I already, like, did high jump, long jump, hurdles, those are, like, the more technical ones, I'd say, like, in the HEP. So I kind of had, like, an advantage there. And then it's just about adding in the other events.
Yeah, you mentioned the throws. The two throws are the javelin and the shot put.
Yes.
And those are both very different throws events, even within the category.
Right.
How do you go about, you know, working on the javelin? I saw you set a PR, but had you ever even done the javelin before?
No. So I actually, funny story, the first time I ever tried even learning the technique for javelin was actually last Monday. So, you know, not super experienced, but we were actually practicing with Coach Kalina. I was practicing throwing just a javelin ball indoor at, like, one of the nets we have inside. Mm-hmm. And then I tried a few, like, actual throws with the javelin itself with, like, a tennis ball taped to it. But I'd never tried throwing outside. And it's definitely the kind of thing where, like, I'll get a lot better with time. It's hard when you don't have that, like, muscle memory super ingrained yet. Yeah, but I'm super excited because I, like, my coach was telling me that, like, my shoulders, like, hyperextend a little bit, which actually is, like, an advantage somehow I think you maybe get more, like, torque on the jab. So that'll be nice getting to take advantage of that later in the season.
What's your favorite event of the seven? You had to choose one.
Oh, okay, definitely 100 hurdles.
Okay.
I'd say, like, technically, like, based on PRs, my best would be high jump.
Mm-hmm.
But I actually really love the hurdles. I think, like, I have a gymnastics background, so that helps with, like, high jump and hurdles. Definitely just, like, not being scared to, like, go over the barriers. But I love sprinting. I think it's so fun, and I love that adrenaline I get from it. And, yeah, I just think hurdles is, like, it's a lot can change in the hurdles compared to, like, I'd say, like, the 100. Like, people react differently later in the race, and there's, like, a lot that can happen, even though it's such a short race. So I think it's, like, an interesting one to watch, too, and it's super technical. I really like the technical events.
Great. And then, well, you're from Georgia. How did Bates get on your radar for college coming up north?
Well, I love Georgia, love Atlanta, and was considering staying close to home, but my parents both went to NESCAC, so they were already on my radar. I had visited some of them, was looking at a few other NESCACs, and then Bates just, I really loved the community at Bates, the strong academics and, like, the balance of, like, the campus culture with the academics and the sports. Yeah, perfect fit for me. I was, like, and my sister, as I mentioned before, since she goes to Smith, it's, like, not too far off. So, yeah, I was just, and I thought it would be fun to get away from home. You know, like, I really have a lot of Georgia pride, but it's awesome getting to, like, branch out, meet new people, and be, like, far away from home. It's, like, a new adventure, yeah.
Have you connected with any people from Georgia at Bates?
Totally. Yeah. I've, like, tracked all of them down. I'm pals with a lot of them.
Yeah.
Not a huge Georgia Bates, you know, yeah.
Pipeline.
Pipeline. Not a huge Georgia Bates pipeline, but I've totally, I think I know all of the people from Georgia, and Yeah, we're buds.
Great. And then you mentioned your sister goes to Smith. Did she get to watch you compete then? Or
no? So I wish that it was perfect because it was on my birthday and I was like, oh my god, like
oh, it was your birthday?
It gave me birthday luck. But she's abroad in Cuba right now, so I did not get to see her, but I did see some of her friends. But next year, I'm hoping that we'll be at the same meet at the same time, so I'll probably get to visit her.
Track and field in general. How do you mentioned you have a gymnastics background? How did that lead to when you start competing in track? When do you wanted to start doing that, I guess.
Yeah, so I did gymnastics my whole life, and it took up, like, a lot of time. Yeah. Obviously, people probably know that. It was, like, 20 hours a week from when I was, like, 6 to 15. Mm. And then when I was 15, a sophomore in high school, I decided to go to a semester school called the Outdoor Academy. There's actually, like, a lot of people at Bates who go to these semester schools. It's only one semester, so I went there from September to December of my sophomore year, and I decided that was, like, too long of a break from gymnastics to be able to go back and be successful. And I was already kind of like moving away from the sport. I wasn't like super into it anymore. And I was really interested in playing a school sport because gymnastics was club and I wanted to be more involved in my school. So I joined the track team the spring of my sophomore year. From there, that's when I got super interested in it. It's been super fun.
Were you hurdles from the beginning or what was your first event?
Yeah, I think my coaches were like, oh, she has long legs. She should be a hurdler and high jumper. They like kind of just typecast me into that. And it seemed to work out pretty well.
Great. And then what's it like being on a college track team? This is your first year. What's the experience been like so far?
It's been awesome. I really love having that built-in community. It's like given me such a solid foundation at Bates. It's like whenever I walk into Commons, I don't have to like text any of my friends to be there. I can just know that there's going to be people there and I can sit with them. And I love like getting to know people across the grades. It's like such a sense of security and also fun. Like we have so much fun as a team together. I'm like really grateful to have that community on campus.
And it's a big team. I mean, have you gotten to get to know everyone or are there still people you need to meet even practically?
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely a super big team. I'd say like I really do know the power group super well. Mm-hmm. That's like the sprints, jumps, stuff like that. Honestly, like we're not super involved with distance. We've gotten a lot closer with them over the course of the year. But like at the beginning of the year, especially when they were like super in the depths of cross country season, we didn't really interact with them as much. So I'd say like I know most of them, but I'm not super close with all of them yet because, you know, we haven't had that much overlap.
And we have a bunch of coaches. So which ones, I mean, you work with probably a lot of them because Rita Multi, what's that like experience like working across disciplines with different coaches?
Yeah, it's super awesome. I would say the coaches I work most closely with would be Coach Johnson, our head coach, and Coach Art, who's our jumps coach, and then Coach Kalina.
Yeah.
But I mean, all of the coaching staff is awesome. And it's really just nice to like form like strong relationships with these coaches because they don't just see us as athletes. They also see us as like well-rounded people and students. And they like prioritize all of the parts of our personality and all of the part, like all of our interests. And they like are super dedicated to like getting to know us on like a full level. But yeah, it's awesome to like have these connections with all of the coaches.
What's it like jumping in with the throwers? Because I know they're their own unique group, kind of, right?
Yeah. I honestly wish the throwers, I mean, this is on like every team, the throwers aren't always super integrated into the team just because we don't practice like with like all as a team. But I'm glad that I do throws now so I can like get closer with the throwers.
Do you have like kind of goals in mind like for yourself kind of moving forward this year? Is really, are you thinking, oh, I'm gonna, you know, keep moving up the multi top 10? Are there other individual events you're thinking about or anything like that?
Yeah, I'd say some of my goals are I'm proud of my performance in the multi, but I also want to polish some of those individual events. I'd say like I haven't met my PR in high jump yet this year.
Okay.
I haven't jumped that. And so my goal is to just jump like closer to that in these upcoming meets. And then for the hurdles, I did PR and I'm super excited to like continue with that momentum. I PR'd like 2 weeks ago, I think at Wesley, or maybe three at Wesley, and the weather was awesome. Mm-hmm. So definitely looking to keep shaving down milliseconds on that. And then in the high jump, yeah, just always competing against myself, trying to PR, you know?
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, I've talked with other track athletes. It's not necessarily linear, right?
I mean, yeah, totally.
You had two PRs like the first meet of the spring. So that was good, right?
Yeah.
Good way to start. UMass flagship, you know, two good performances, but not PRs necessarily. So how do you, as an athlete, kind of like say, you realize in your mind, you're not going to PR every week, right?
Right. And that's been super hard for me to like learn, but it's definitely very important and it like translates to other things in life. Yeah, I'm someone who holds myself to like a super high standard. So I do want to PR every meet. And I just have to tell myself that's like not going to happen. And it's so, also in outdoor season, it's so dependent on weather.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously it's dependent on you and like I'm always responsible for my own performance, but also weather does play a super big role. Like the UMass meet, it was a rough one. It was pouring rain,
pouring rain, cold. Yeah.
We were like huddled around a little heater, like a propane heater under a tent for a lot of the meet. But yeah, I'd say like it's definitely just you can't, like, track is so mental, like a lot of sports, and so you just can't get in your head about it. You have to stay confident, especially in the events like high jump and hurdles. It's all about confidence. And I was feeling super confident at the Wesleyan meet. The weather was great. I was like ready to have like a good debut, and I think that like attitude plays such a huge role in your ability to PR.
And you're not the only multi we have. We've got multiple, I mean, Carson on the men's side, and then also Carly and Jasmine as well. What's that group like?
Yeah, it's awesome. It's such a funny group. We were bickering a little bit at the meet. Just we all have different ways of locking in when we're at the meet. Some of us like to, talk a lot. And some of us like to, you know, just sit back and focus on ourselves. But it's a super fun group. We're all really different people, but we all are like dedicated and like have a lot of fun together, and we all, I'd say, are pretty close. Yeah, I love the group. I like Carson and Carly bring such good leadership. Jasmine too. This is her first time being a multi, so she's mostly a pole vaulter, but she always brings the energy and the fun. Yeah, it's awesome.
Who's the talker?
The talker, I'd say, in general, all of us are pretty talkative.
Okay.
But Jasmine definitely likes to talk when during competition. I kind of tone down my talkativeness when I'm at the meets.
Gotcha, yeah. And then we've got the Maine State Pine Tree Classic this Saturday in Waterville. That's a scoring meet, a chance for the Bobcats to, you know, show themselves as the best in the state. What's the opportunity like for you?
Yeah, I'm super excited for the Colby meet. I've actually never been to Colby. Not a huge fan of Colby, honestly, even though I've never been there. But I'm definitely very excited. I have a few finals on Friday, so I actually won't be able to make it to the high jump part.
Oh, it's Friday and Saturday?
It's Friday and Saturday. Okay. So, gotcha. Like, men's and women's high jump are on Friday. I think some of the throws, maybe pole vault. I'm not quite sure what events are on Friday.
Gotcha.
But on Saturday, I'll probably be doing the 100 hurdles and long jump. And I'm definitely very excited for that. It's just, yeah, Maine States is always fun. We have our friends from other schools that we get to see. That we see at these meets, and yeah, it's just like a very like fun, uplifting environment. Super excited for that. I'm gonna try to, like, I usually don't think of myself as much of a long jumper, but I'm trying to like build that confidence because I know that will like make me more motivated and give me more drive to PR. And yeah, I'm super excited for that. So I'll definitely be focused a lot on long jump this week.
Sounds good. Any other thoughts you want to mention about the heptathlon this past weekend we haven't got to talk about?
It was definitely like a super fun experience, and the slush on the ground made it a little bit hard, especially that 800. I don't think of myself as a distance runner, so the 800 was a little bit tough, but I did a better job of pacing myself, and I think we kept the energy high and fun the whole meet despite the weather. Super grateful to have such a positive team. And yeah, it was an awesome experience. Yeah, I was honestly kind of surprised with my performance. Like right before this interview started, you were talking about how I was on the top 10 list, which I did not actually know. That surprised me, but I'm like definitely excited. And I didn't realize that I would be better at the HEP than the PENT.
Mm.
So yeah, I like, you know, getting to know myself as an athlete better and figuring that out. But yeah, super awesome experience. Glad to have competed this weekend. Yeah.
All right. Yep. Juno Rogers, ninth all time at Bates in the heptathlon, 3,517 points there at the Carla Coffee Invitational. Thank you so much for joining us on the Bobcast. Really appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you.
The tennis teams celebrated their seniors this weekend, with the men's and women's tennis teams winning their matches Saturday against Trinity. Sunday was senior day, and senior captain Eli Chris got the start at number 6 singles for men's tennis, winning in straight sets in his final match at Merrill Gym. Well, Eli, fun weekend for the men's tennis team taking on, you know, Trinity and Wesleyan there at Merrill Gym. And in your final match as a Bobcat there on senior day, got the win at number 6 singles. First of all, kind of what was going through your mind that day, knowing you'd be in the lineup and going out there against a pretty good opponent, right?
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, I was just grateful for the opportunity. It's been a lot of work for the past 4 years, and Bates Tennis has been, you know, a really great thing for me. I knew that all my friends and family were there, you know. It felt like the perfect environment, and, you know, I was just really excited to be out there and, you know, be supported by my team and everyone that's close around me.
Yeah, I mean, the tennis matches are, you know, they take a while. So you're together a lot with your teammates, even if sometimes, you know, you're on the court by yourself. So what's the group dynamic like, especially with your fellow seniors?
It's amazing. You know, it's going to be one of the most unforgettable experiences at Bates, just, you know, the guys that I've been with the past 4 years. And, you know, all credit to them. They've worked so hard the past 4 years. Both of the guys that I'm here with now, there's originally two other guys who are no longer on the team. And, you know, the two guys that are with me now, they're walk-ons. And they were originally walk-ons, and they worked very hard to get to where they were now. And, you know, it's been really inspiring to see all the work that they've put in over the years. And now they're starters themselves. So I'm very proud, and we've been very supportive of each other over the past 4 years, so I'm very grateful for that.
Any memorable moments from this particular match there on Sunday?
I mean, just like, I don't know, it sounds corny, but just the words of encouragement, and, you know, it just was kind of felt like a full circle moment with all of them, you know, coming together on that special day and, celebrating the work that we've put in, as I said, for the past 4 years. Just grateful for Bates tennis overall.
And being a team captain this year with your fellow seniors and a junior as well, and Tao, what's that experience been like?
It's been the most rewarding experience at Bates Tennis, you know, helping those young guys develop over time. And one thing that our coach says is, you know, passing on that legacy to future generations. And it's also a testament to the great leadership we've had over the years and the captains I've had, you know, when I was underclassmen myself. So it's been extremely rewarding passing on that tradition and that legacy and the culture of our team.
Now, you're a history and politics double major. Yep. How have you been able to balance that with tennis? Because tennis, you know, you have two seasons. You have the fall and the spring. You're in season a lot.
It is. It's a constant grind, yeah. You know. I will say it's a lot of reading, a lot of writing. But, you know, when I came to Bates, that's exactly the experience that I wanted. I wanted to challenge myself both academically and, you know, also on the tennis court as well. So I think I've, you know, really embrace the challenge that comes with, you know, balancing everything. But like I said, like, it's been very rewarding, that process, and it's made me a better person and a better athlete, better human being. So
a little goofy question for you. On the website, we have these little tidbits about some of our athletes. And for yours, it's, if you could have dinner with any historical figure, who would it be? And you wrote Julius Caesar. So I'm going to ask you, why Julius Caesar?
You know, he's just like one of my favorite historical figures. When I was a kid, I thought it was very interesting. You know, he commands respect throughout history. We're still learning about him today. And, you know, he established a great empire that, you know, is still relevant to today's world. You can see the remnants of it. And, yeah, its legacy continues on in, like, the traditions and cultures and histories of modern Europe today. So I think that's cool, and kind of the legacy he left behind.
Excellent. Then, you know, looking back at your 4 years on the tennis team here, what are some moments that kind of stick out to you right now?
I'd say this moment, senior day. This was probably one of my most fond moments, not just because, you know, the result and the win, but like I said before, just having my family there, my friends, my teammates, all supporting. I was the last match on, and everyone was getting into the match. So that was a lot of fun. And I guess just over the years, you know, the little things, you know, team dinners and just hanging out with the guys in general, those are the most special moments that I'm going to look back on at Bates Tennis, and that's unforgettable.
I might have asked you this last time you were on, but throw it back to high school when you were looking at colleges. What made Bates the place for you?
Just that balance of academics and athletics. And it's like, in terms of the NESCAC conference in tennis, it is the most competitive conference in the country.
Yeah.
I wanted to embrace some really, really tough competition. Bates obviously is a great school. And yeah, it was just also a great community that really resonated with me. I'm from New England. I wanted to stay here at home. And it was far, far enough where, you know, I felt like something different here in Maine. I'm from Winchester, Massachusetts myself. But at the same time, I could be home. I could see my family. So felt close to home and something a little bit different. So it was kind of the best of both worlds.
And growing up, what made tennis kind of your sport? What got you into it?
So I grew up in a tennis family, actually. I'm actually the youngest of five kids.
Okay.
And all of us played tennis. Four of us ended up playing college tennis. We were all really into Winchester High School tennis. winning a bunch of state championships. So that was, you know, looking back on my tennis career, that was some of the most special moments. And, you know, we all, now I grew up with three older brothers, and we were constantly competing with one another. And I guess that made the sport that much more fun.
I was going to say, there's not too much of an age gap there. It was...
Well, there kind of was. Oh, yeah. This is interesting. You know, my oldest brother, he's 8 years older than me. And, you know, he would smack me down, but that's okay.
Yeah.
Taught me a lot of lessons, toughened me up over time. And, yeah, some of my fondest memories with him. Same goes with my other brothers. And the one closest to me in age, we actually got to win a state championship together when I was a freshman. He was a senior. And, yeah, we had some battles out on the court together. You know, sometimes it was hostile, but now looking back on it, it was some of my favorite memories on the tennis court ever.
So were all your siblings at senior day? Or
no, unfortunately, it was just my parents.
Oh, your parents.
Yeah,
okay,
my parents were there because siblings are all spread out.
They have jobs and stuff.
Yeah, jobs all over the place. Rochester, New York, New York City, Boston. So
yeah. But your parents being there, that was obviously special.
That was very special. Yeah. And, you know, I got the start on senior day and... Yeah, I'm very grateful that they were there and, you know, makes it that much better. It was a good result.
Absolutely. Obviously, you play for, you know, head coach Paul Gassingay, who's a Bates alum himself, All-American tennis player when he was here. What have you kind of learned from him over 4 years?
Obviously, I've learned some amazing things on the tennis court. He's made me such a better athlete and a better competitor. But also, he's just a great man. I can't say enough about Coach. He's taught me a lot of valuable lessons. He's always believed in me throughout, you know, this entire process. And, yeah, I'm just very grateful for everything that he's done for me and also Bates Tennis. He's an amazing coach and a great mentor to all the guys. And he really knows what he's doing in terms of establishing a great culture on the team.
One thing I wanted to ask is, obviously, it's a lot of investment, you know, a lot of time into tennis.
Yeah.
And sometimes, I mean, I imagine, you know, you're in the lineup sometimes, but not all the time necessarily. So how do you, like, maintain, you know, the motivation, the focus over 4 years sort of?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. It's that's something that comes with a little bit of maturity, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, over the years. But I guess it's just really being grateful for what Bates Tennis has to offer. And, you know, traditionally tennis is a very individual sport. And even in high school, you don't really feel the same team aspect that you have when you go on to college. So it's a little bit of an adjustment, right? But the culture that we have, it's all about the team. You have to set aside your self-interest, and you have to embrace what's best for the team on that given day. So having that, you know, having that understanding really helps in just trusting the process and wanting what's best for the team. If you're not out there on that given day, you know, that's okay. But you have to work hard and be ready for whenever your name is called on a given day.
Well, speaking of the team, it was a nice team win on Saturday, right?
Absolutely.
So what were some observations from that match?
That was just awesome. It was just a collective effort.
Yeah.
You know, obviously Trinity was a really, really good team, tough competitors. But, you know, we really took care of business on what we emphasized day to day. We are always super intense every single practice. We practice the right way. And like I said, tennis is very individual, and are the results of the season. We haven't quite put it together as individuals for that collective win, but it was awesome to see everyone putting it together on that given day, competing really hard. There was a lot of adversity, you know, tough matches all around, but, you know, the young guys really came in strong, and, you know, the senior leadership, you know, my co-captains and co-classmates, they were just great. They are the anchor of that match, so it was an awesome team effort at the end of the day.
Terrific. And then, I mean, you are a senior, so I will ask about post-college plans, thoughts, what's going on there?
Currently going to be working in New York City.
Okay.
Kind of in like a corporate role in client services. But at the end of the day, what I want to be doing is I want to go on to law school.
Okay.
Definitely want to, you know, continue my education and hopefully be in the Boston area one day and move back to New England. I love New England. That's where I want to be. But, you know, I want to get some real-world experience before I make that jump back into school.
Well, in client services, you could take some to the U.S. Open there probably, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Have you ever been to, like, a major tennis event as a fan?
I have. I go to the U.S. Open.
Okay.
I've been there for the past, like, 3-4 years.
Oh, so it's old hat for you.
Oh, it's awesome. Yeah, yeah. It's a great event. Yeah. But I've also gone to the French Open. I actually went for the first time this summer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was a great experience. And, you know, got to go with my girlfriend and also my brother and his girlfriend at the time. So it was a lot of fun and something different, too.
It is different because those clay courts, I mean, we don't have those over here, do we?
No.
Yeah,
we have, like, the green clay, but we don't have that beautiful red clay that they have in Paris, no.
Have you ever played on clay?
I have. So I grew up playing on that green clay a lot over the summers. Mm. I guess that kind of, like, formed my game a little bit, shaped my game. It's a little bit slower court, so I like to rally back from the baseline and really grind back there. But at the end of the day, mostly hard courts in the U.S. So it's a lot of fun when you get to play on that clay.
Yeah, and what would you call our surface in Merrill?
I would say it's interesting. It's, I'd say it's a rubber court.
A rubber court.
Yeah, but I mean, I love Merrill. You learn to love it, and it's a huge advantage for us, and we all embrace it. They're super fast. It's a fast-paced court, and you know, it makes for a lot of fun points. It's a little bit of a different brand of tennis, so it forces you to go outside of your comfort zone when you're originally going.
Is it faster than Wallach? Like,
oh yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah, the ball really skids on Merrill.
Okay.
Yeah, it really skids on Merrill.
Yeah.
So it's shorter points, but you gotta be a lot more aggressive. You gotta hold your serve every single time. So I think that's like where a lot of growth has come. It's forced us to grow as players. So, you know, for me, I was more of a grinder, steady player coming in, but I've learned to become a lot more aggressive, rely on my serve, really go for it. And then when you shift over to those slow courts, you have those weapons that Merrill's kind of, you know, forced us to really hone. So it's cool. It really, you know, makes us tough as competitors, tennis players. It makes us more well-rounded as well. So, you know, I love Merrill Gymnasium. All good things to say.
Yeah, definitely the big home court advantage for the Bobcats. I guess any other thoughts you wanted to share on senior day we haven't got to talk about yet, or your time as Bobcat?
Honestly, yeah. I just really enjoyed my experience being a Bobcat and representing Bates throughout the 4 years. Wouldn't trade this experience for the world. So, yeah, thank you.
Eli Chris, one of three senior captains on the Bates men's tennis team, capping off his home career, at least at Bates, with a win at number 6 singles there on Sunday against Wesleyan. Bobcats also had a win as a team Saturday against Trinity. Still a couple more matches right here in Maine. A week from Wednesday, April 23rd, the Bobcats are at Bowdoin at 3:30, and then on April 27th, a Sunday, capping off the regular season at Colby at noon. Eli, thanks so much for joining us on the Bobcast.
Thank you so much. Thank you for your time.
It's finals week for Bates students, so there are no sporting events until Friday, when the Maine State Classic begins for track and field, and the baseball team hosts Bard. Find the complete athletic schedule at GoBatesBobcats.com, and we'll catch you next time on the Bates Bobcast. We'll be right back.